Forever Dog. Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to
Race Chaser
Classic, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What is yours?
Hello, I'm Willem, and we are counting down to the crown.
Welcome back to Newsmax. Okay.
Last week you competed in your biggest challenge to date, starring in RuPaul's music video for The Beginning, featuring hairography, chiffonography, a courtroom acting scene, and sped-up lip-syncing. Tensions ran high, and Roxy and Jinx butted heads in the workroom before the final runway. Each queen pleaded their case to become America's Drag Superstar, and you lip-synced. But then, destiny turned on a dime.
She did. Nothing happened.
RuPaul said the race was too close to make a decision. She needed the viewers' help.
It's too close. I haven't made a decision.
I can't.
And so we're just 1 week away from crowning a new Drag Race superstar. Whose team are you on, Alaska? Team Jinx or Team Roxy?
I'll say I'm on Team Alaska.
Oh, why, thank you. Well, the only thing to do when you're left on a cliffhanger of not knowing who the winner is, clip show!
Two things you could do at a point like this, clip show or suicide drag.
I mean, girl, oh my God. Yeah.
So they're really making someone giving you a cow's ear and saying, can you make boots, a purse, and a headband, please? Because, they're stretching this out. This episode has more fluff than a jar of marshmallow fluff. And, you know, it's like you have a little bit of meat, but you got breadcrumbs, so make a meatloaf. So this is a loaf. This episode.
Yes, but and there's a reason we're doing this as an episode. First of all, it matches up with the time frame of us starting season 13. But second of all, it's important. This is a good clip show. I love the concept. I love the newsroom feel of it. And they do yes, there is a lot of like recap and revisiting, but they do
she-cap.
Show a lot of she-cap.
I'm a she-capper, not a recapper.
Right. They do show a lot of new stuff and interesting stuff that I forgot about, definitely, and that I'm sure a lot of viewers forgot about. So we're going to dedicate this episode to
the stars
recap.
Of tomorrow. Yeah. Keep your eyes on them because you'll never...
I don't want to give away any secrets, but there might just be a correspondence spot by someone.
Secrets?
Here.
Secrets.
Oh.
Secrets.
Oh. There Even are a- countdown correspondents Latrice Royale, Sharon Needles, and...
Willem! Wow. I'm a star again.
She's back
My
on
return
TV.
To the stage.
So when did the falling out officially happen? Because they were still letting you on productions at this time.
The falling out officially happened for the first time when All Stars 2 was filming. And that's when I was the one that inadvertently leaked that it was indeed filming. Even everybody knew it. That was the last time they talked to me willingly, I'd say. After that, I was off the email list. So I don't know when. I feel like that was after this or something. But... the lines were very scripted. They would not let us change them. It was very rigid. And then when we got there, we all had problems with our outfits because no one had told us it was green screen. So Latrice had a dress that had teal AB stones on it.
Uh-huh.
So it was luckily like a Roxy Andrews type of like Final Three dress where it had a cape like that she could easily put over her shoulder and hide all the gemstones and all the rhinestone work. So she did that. Sharon had to change something, but she had all trash anyway and all like new Jeffrey Mack stuff. She was good at that point. She had tons of shit to wear, all of it dirty, but all of it beautiful. And me, I had a tiger swimsuit with green in it. And then a metal jacket with like leather and studs on it, but you can't really wear
a full metal jacket.
It was not a full metal jacket.
Oh, bolero.
It was a bolero leather jacket, with studs, and you can't really wear stones or shiny or metal things. So I had to take that off too. So I'm like up there in a leotard, looking not like a correspondent. And for a background, they gave me a dirty alley, like I was some hooker. Everybody got nice backgrounds. Latrice is at the beach, and I'm a fucking hooker in a garbage alley.
I mean, what would you have requested? You probably
a cleaner alley,
requested a hooker alley.
You know what? I can't even place my finger on all the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent it will take to win this show. But something tells me that some girls don't have it.
If I had to put my finger on it, I would probably have to wash my finger afterward.
You'd also have to put on a nail.
Honey, and Hi. Why don't you drop your dress off at the cleaners before you wear it on stage?
Because they can also do tailoring there too, darling. Take that hem up so maybe you could get around a little more easily in it and not be so holly hoppy on the runway.
Taylor Dane, she was the popcorn on Masked Singer. I was right.
Oh, work. Congratulations. You should be on Masked Singer next. Do you know Rita Vega's going to be on Big Brother Canada? Big Brother, French Canada.
Amazing. That'll be fun.
Continuing RuPaul's legacy work through Brooklyn, Lynn Heights, through Montreal's exactly. Rita Vega.
Well, the first thing that happens on this episode, of course, is the Ru play. And they make this sort of like a football graphic kind of thing. Like, oh, this queen gets knocked out by this person and this person. We're going to go ahead and just breeze right over this because we all know who went home in what order.
But yeah, we talked about it for hours.
Just to get their names in our mouths, because I do love every single one of these divas. Penetration.
Hits the house first.
Why don't you say one word that corresponds to them that comes to you when you hear their name, and I'll read their name. Penetration.
Cincinnati.
Serena Chacha.
Books.
Monica Beverly Hills.
Hair.
Honey Mahogany.
Caftan.
Vivian Panay.
Nooch.
Linacia Sparks.
Excellence.
J. Jolie. Ivy Winters.
Hot air balloon.
Alyssa Edwards.
Back rolls.
Coco Montrese.
Doritos.
Detox.
Cocaine.
There. See that? That was all the Ru cap. That was all the Ru play we needed.
Yeah. This show is great because they show a lot of fan art that the queens received throughout the season. Really highlighting the influence of the internet and the fandom. I feel like season four kind of birthed the whole like using the internet with the pick your favorite, Sharon, Chad, Alaska. And season five really took that and ran with it, as evidenced by RuPaul listing their social medias on Twitter, Pinterest, GetGlue.com, Wow Report. Like, she literally gives off my browser history from 2009.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that they show fan art, because there's so much amazing fan art and fan artists out there who are celebrating the divas and the dolls. So we love to see that.
Do you have any favorites? I think my favorite fan arter is one of them is Painkiller Cam. He makes really great ones. A guy named Travis Falagut.
I have so many favorite ones, but my current favorite one that people keep sending me is it's like a horse sculpture that someone put like hair and a dress on. Like it's like a sculpture, like it's real. And it's really, really beautiful. I think it's made of wax or something, but it says, "Hey girls, my name's Alaska." It looks fucking just like me.
Work, art pop.
I love it. Yes. So now it's time for the Shade Tracker 2013. Wow, what a different year that was.
Now this is a new model. They had some quirks and some things they had to work out in the Shade Tracker 2012. Helen Hunt got her hair caught in it.
Oh, work. Okay. They show some shady moments between Alyssa and Coco.
There were many, many shady moments between Alyssa and Coco. Anytime any of them opened their eyes, there was like, anytime Alyssa did well, they cut to Coco. Anytime Coco did well, they cut to Alyssa. And same thing in reverse when they were bad. So like, they honestly got the gift that kept on giving when Alyssa and Coco walked on set that year.
Yes. And, you know, a show would not run if there was not conflict.
Yeah.
Right, you backstabbing bitch, Willem.
I don't know where you used to pod, but around here, we use code DRAG.
Shady bitch.
We don't go for pills and booze in the podcasting world.
Are you reading your journal again?
Why don't you? I'm going to go out the same way I came in. Oh, at least I never married one of those fags. Okay.
Fags can be so touchy.
That little tramp makes me feel 10 feet tall.
All of these reads could have been sufficient for the RuPaul roast. They show a lot of the unseen jokes. One of my favorite things about recapping season 5 this year on Race Chaser with you was you telling me all the unseen behind the scene tea. Were there any RuPaul roast jokes that didn't make it that you think should have or were a little too blue for the Ru?
I don't know. I can't remember. I think the one I said on the roast was, RuPaul, your music is so gay. I downloaded your your music is so terrible that when I downloaded it, my iPod killed itself.
See, that's not okay now because of suicide triggers. You could have said my iPod called the Trevor Project seeking guidance.
Just like a recap episode, we've really covered so much ground already. I mean, the significant discourse and discussion we've had just in this first segment. You should tune back in after this short break for more of this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack and they have that song about time and it makes me like cognizant that like life is finite and you should like try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
The Chicapery is back, and we haven't talked about everything that Bear's talking about, because right now I think it would be a gross oversight for me to overlook this Strawberry Sweetheart ponytail that you're wearing. And is this is this a new vanity or one of the old vanities?
It's new. It's a new film lace.
Oh, I wasn't sure if that was a tinsel topper or just your natural radiance glowing.
Well, it's a little of both. I also haven't washed my hair in several weeks, which creates sort of a tinsel sparkle effect.
Some girls just put their highlighter right up into their wig. Girl, can we talk about the season 13 girls? Because me and a couple of people that I know have been going back and forth in the group chat saying, oh, so she wanted to draw her eyebrow underneath her lace, because you can see one girl's eyebrow underneath her lace, like at least an inch.
So what? What's the big deal?
I wanted to congratulate her for just, you know, showing, yes, I have an eyebrow that can go to my ear.
I've done that. I have this one unit where the lace overlaps where my eyebrow normally goes. And sometimes if I want to get really fancy, I draw the eyebrow over top the lace. That's how you know you're dedicated to dress.
Oh, illusions.
That's like casting illusions and steely, icy glances.
Well, your illusion gets a D because it's a delusion. Oh, your eyebrow should never be seen through your lace, I don't think. Well,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay, well, some of us paint a little outside
the face,
you know,
into the scalp.
Yeah, some of us do.
Yeah, I got some girls need that hard paint back to the ears.
Girl, some of us enjoy that. So the next thing that happens is Latrice is in a tropical storm. That's fun. She tells the girls to stop blaming the edit and then introduces a clip package of some of the most heartwarming moments of the season. We get Alyssa's dad message, Monica coming out as trans, Jinx feeling like she abandoned her brother, Roxy, and the story with her mom leaving her at the bus stop.
We as gay people, we get to choose our bottoms.
Did you see that clip of us doing
it? It was hilarious. Who did that?
Lee Dawson.
Lee Dawson deserves the Peabody.
Honestly, I'd love to invite him to work for us too.
Pee on your body? Oh.
Yeah, that put in some work. Now if you took Alyssa's dad, Monica, Jinx's brother, and Roxy's mom and put them together in a wild sitcom with Leslie Jordan, you would have Logo's newest hit. I think. I mean, all those people are
all right. I don't even know what to say to that.
Monica would be the breakout star. She would get a spinoff. Roxy's mom wouldn't show up.
She would.
Jinx's brother would fall asleep, probably. He got narcolepsy, too, I bet. And Alyssa's dad would be great, you know.
Total dad vibes. So now they start going through the final three in alphabetical order. So I'm one of those girls with an A name, honey. So I'm always in the very first.
Hey, girls. Her name's alphabetical. So noted facts about Alaska Louise Thunderfuck. Mm-hmm. She is from Pittsburgh, more specifically Erie, Pennsylvania. She auditioned for every season of RuPaul's Drag Race, including casting special pop-ups and tip spots, only to have her boyfriend Sharon Needles win last season. Her hi is infectious.
Mm-hmm.
She has formed cliques before, notably Rolaska Talks, but then she diverted and went solo. Her comedy stood out all competition. And RuPaul begs the question, are you Team Alaska to the nation?
Yes, all those things are things that are that happened.
Back then, back.
Dipper's like, what are you cunts doing with this episode?
Great time. I think everyone's having a great time.
What are you cunts doing?
I can say that during this season, I was definitely not Team Jinx. I thought she was super talented, but I didn't think that I wanted to look at her for a year in pictures. I would have rather looked at you or Roxy. So that I was definitely on your team for sure.
Well, I thank you. And I thank you for your vote of confidence. But it was not my moment.
No, not at all.
But who knows? Anything could happen. We don't want to give away any spoilers. We haven't gotten to the finale yet. Celebrities. Now, this is a new piece of information that's presented on this episode. Celebrities love Drag Race very much, and they tweet about it. So they showed some tweets from some famous people. Adam Lambert,
Nicki Minaj,
Sally Jesse Raphael.
I feel like they're all future judges too. Adam judged in season 6. Nikki judged in season 12, I think, when she told Heidi her face was... and I feel like Sally Jesse Raphael did a pop-up somehow. Didn't she? No?
Maybe? You know, I can't remember if I'm remembering this, because they show a little video clip of her on this clip show.
Because she had red hair, right, at this point?
Yes, and she says, "I love Jinx so much. You're very special." So fuck my drag. No, just kidding. Really kidding.
Deeply.
Willem appears in an alleyway to read tweets from an iPad. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And RuPaul prefaces. Funny. Excuse me.
These were really funny.
Thank you.
Great job. Was this improv or was it all scripted?
No, it was deeply scripted, and they would not let me add anything.
Even the episiotomy line, because that seemed very you.
That was me. They would let me add things.
So maybe a couple skit scats here and there. They let you. If it wasn't too blue, they let it stay in.
You know, RuPaul went ahead and said that the opinions from Willem do not reflect the opinions of RuPaul Inc., Logo TV, President Obama, or Tuckahoe Prison for Ladies. I feel like I share opinions with President Obama because his, now that I'm a reader, I couldn't finish Nicole Byers' book, so I picked up Obama's Promised Land. That's 700 pages. And Nicole Byers is mostly pictures, but I still need to finish that, but I misplaced it. But I feel like I do share opinions with him and many of the prisoners from Tuckahoe Prison for Ladies.
What about RuPaul's School for Girls?
Well, I was on Drag U, so I feel like I share some opinions with RuPaul Inc. too. Ruko.
It's a miracle.
Drag you.
Are you ready for me? Underrated.
Deep in the Lake Titicaca Valley. There lives a school. This is a fun episode.
On a girl with RuPaul in her eyes.
But why is she looking at RuPaul in the eyes?
Merle Ginsburg's gone. She's moving on.
Flashback. To the flashback episode.
Oh my God.
RuPaul throws into a clip package of herself and internet recappers talking about the episodes. And this is kind of when I feel like everybody started to do a recap. I'm going to get on and talk about the show, which isn't a bad idea because it's a lot of people's favorite TV show. And Trixie even went on to become a recapper on something else. She recapped, I think, American Horror Story, and then they wrote her into an American Horror Story episode, like as some sort of drag queen. So like recapping and recapping, go ahead and do it. And if you got one, let us know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not really my style to go back and watch Drag Race and like
just
talk
rehash
about it and like discuss it. It's not really like my thing. Like I don't think I would do that ever, but
you
tune
don't
in
be...
to Race Chaser every Wednesday and Friday.
Ding! Oh, no, we have a soundboard. We don't have to do our sounds anymore by mouth.
We were showing, they showed Isis Mirage and Coco Ferocia, who did Throw in Shade, which is
the original highs.
Yes, that's where I got Heine from, was from them. And they showed them on this recap, which I thought was a really cool moment.
I hung out with them in London in like 2012. They came from like Gibraltar.
Yes.
And they were so much fun. We had such a kiki in the back of a cab and at Jodie Harsh's party. They're great girls. The celebrity...
Such amazing divas. We love them. Deep friends of the pod.
The celebrity guest stars...
Oh, this is like when they show the celebrity guest judges, but it's like kind of behind the scenes, like when the cameras are down. One of the ones is RuPaul says, George Katsiopoulos is here. What are you going to do? Arrest me for smoking? Because my pussy's on fire. And like George Katsiopoulos is like, he just was cracking up so much and did not know how to respond. What are you going to do?
And one of the Pointer Sisters said, I don't know what you're talking about, Santiago.
It was like, my name's Nantino.
No, yeah. I love that. She said, I need something hard and white.
Damn, work.
The celebrity guest stars are amazing. Did any of them stand out in your mind from like moments that they could have shown that they didn't, from like downtimes?
Well, I'm glad they didn't show LaToya Jackson calling me a sad bridesmaid. Glad they didn't show that.
She is a noted enemy of the pod. And if you would like to identify other noted enemies of the pod, I suggest you go to mybestjudymerch.com and pick up a necklace and throw it on a bitch who's not a friend.
That's right. Or if you want to be a friend of the pod, you can get a necklace that says friend of the pod. Or if you just want to say race chaser, you can get a necklace that says race chaser.
Girl, that race chaser is in rose gold, too flattering on any skin tone, any size. It's too, if your neck's too fat, put it on your ankle.
That's right. I'm wearing mine.
Right now.
Well, it's much more than you were wearing in the workroom when you were flopping that piece around. Playing old horse cock helicopter.
Honey, why did I? Now, this is weird because I remember doing it on the first day in the sombrero. Like, that was like, I'm here, I'm in the workroom.
Helicopter like, Helen.
But I don't remember doing it again on the Red for Filth day.
Well, you did.
Alaska, put your dick away.
I mean,
drag race.
Bitch, if mine was that big, I would be wrapping it around my wrist, rhinestoning it.
Yeah, no, you didn't see shit. It was blurred. You don't know my journey,
honey,
my truth.
Growing up in Philadelphia, I could see your piece all the way from Erie, darling. Your piece is legend. Legendary pieces.
You don't know the secrets of my spires.
The spires were condemned. They fell down in 1947.
Why don't we take a break and we'll get more into this riveting recap.
I don't know if we could get more in-depth without a shovel or a backhoe of some sort. You know what? We will be right back, ho.
Bye. Yes.
So many quotable queens in season 5.
Yes, quotant quotables.
Quotables.
We
suck
yes,
all of them queens.
Right. And then RuPaul gives us hashtag shit my girls say. And there's a few standouts that we really were saying a lot. This happens when you're on a season of Drag Race. You all start saying the same phrases at each other. Drag queens do this.
We tried to get Dust to happen.
Oh, she did.
She tried to get Dust to happen hard. Not on tonight. And certain things further transfer into the drag lexicon. Body yaddy yaddy, which was stolen from ballroom. Stop relying on that body. I've had it. That for sure is from this one. Not on tonight, I feel like, was popularized by season 5 also.
Not on tonight.
Yeah.
Now, they can come for me, but not on tonight.
No.
The judges are not going to come for me, not on tonight, darling. And then we profile our next top three diva. Her name is Jinx Monsoon.
I wonder what Jinx thinks of this. She started drag at 14 with a wig from her grandmother. And shockingly, she's still wearing it.
Yes, she is.
That's the crazy part. most of her critiques were about fashion and makeup this season. But all of her performance stuff have kind of put her in the edge as a front runner. Her Snatch Game performance, her telenovela performance, which was somehow over the top and not insulting. I feel like, at the same time. So it could maybe be monsoon season. Plus, who doesn't love an underdog?
Exactly. Then they have a particularly shady moment where it's like fashion do's and oh, she knows she better don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
And they like put a big red X on some of the girls' like runway looks, like Serena Chacha's soft sculpture.
But Jinx's, that was terrible. That helped the outfit when they put the X over it.
Okay, well, Jinx's executive realness, they put a big red X on that. Monica's floral outfit, which I don't think was deserving of a red X.
Yeah, me neither, that one.
And all of Honey Mahogany's caftans, I don't think they all did. I don't think we needed a rapid-fire red X.
I mean, okay,
I felt offended watching. I was like, do we really? I mean, this is a filler episode. Do we really need to like put red X's on people's fucking runway appearances?
I don't like this line of questioning where you're critiquing the show like this. Like, who would do that? That's not what the show is about. We don't talk badly about this show.
That is not what I came here to do.
This podcast is about. The Ruwart
so
best
windy.
Though. I heard the winds. There's winds in the Willems too. I had kidney beans last night.
Ooh.
Girl, you've got flatulence. The fashion do's, not shockingly, because Rue looked sickening this season. Rue wore it best.
Yeah.
Rue definitely wore it best. A lot of the gowns this season, the leopard dress, that red one that she wore with the rose on her shoulder, the
so
neon
good.
One, like mm-hmm. she turned it this season.
They were peeing all over this season. Matthew on the hair and makeup, Zaldi on the garments, really, really doing a great job. And that was all brought to you by Peanut Butter by RuPaul. Must be jelly because jam don't shake.
Mm-hmm. Sharon Needles.
Oh, wow, this is an exciting episode. Oh,
so,
God.
A little scent bird brings Sharon Needles into the studio. Probably running on. I'm sure the night before that she filmed this, she was out with Chanel Perillo at Mickey's.
You can bet. That's a safe bet.
Did you say grab a bag or you can bet?
Wow.
Sharon definitely wants Little Pound Cake to win, which is, mm-hmm. you know, very funny.
The Little Pound Cake doll is available on AlaskaThunderfuck.com. That's AlaskaThunderfuck.com.
I had heard that there were limited quantities and supplies were running low, so they better get them now.
I would recommend that, yes.
I heard it. I don't know if it's true, but I heard.
I would recommend getting it as soon as possible.
And that's...
It talks.
And it's a human blend hair on that doll model, correct?
Yeah, it is heat resistant.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Sharon talks about that she just did an album called PG-13, and that's available. And then she says there's lots of other Drag Race girls who have done music, and then they do like a rapid fire of a bunch of girls' singles.
I don't think it's fair to call all these songs music, though.
Oh, my gosh.
There are some great ones, though. There's one of my favorites is...
Raja Sublime is really good.
Sublime's good.
Feeling
I do like...
so sublime.
Mimi on First's song, Queen. I'ma be a queen. Remember that song?
That's a good one.
With XL?
XL, yes.
That was a good one. There's
Queen. That's
there's
really good.
The hit Boy Is a Bottom by DWV.
Oh, yeah. You got a shout out.
Shout out. Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale, The Chop.
Uh-huh. Also, Shangela's Working Girl. What?
How did the chop got on there? I thought that was after All Stars.
Because All Stars happened right before season 5. So it would have come out
recently. Oh, yeah. I only did one episode of that. I forgot about it. You're right.
Shangela's Working Girl, it was also mentioned. And that is a song that is used by so many drag queens and has a huge cultural impact. Like, you go to any show... anywhere somebody's doing a mix with Shangela's Working Girl.
I think Miley Cyrus used it in the VMA mix. I'm pretty sure. Because I remember that. And I was like, Shangela, is that your song? And she was like, uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Rue says, you can vote with your pocketbook, so get off your ass, go to a club, and support your local drag queens. And I further echo this statement because I remember when everybody was like mad about Rue Girls coming into towns and just like being shitty to people. So I always think like when people can name like 12 or 20 Rue Girls but can't name like 10 or even 2 local girls that they love, it's one of those problems. So like think of other songs and music that isn't like Drag Race related and support them too. There's so many good ones, especially some good Rainbow Spotlights. There's an artist who has a song called what is it called? It's about Christmas. What's your song called, bitch?
It's called Wave, Let It Snow.
Wish. Let It Snow?
What are you talking about? My new Christmas holiday single that just came out.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
It's called Let It Snow.
Is that the one the video's for too? With work in it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. What was the video with you in the pool then? Wasn't that your winter song too? You have so much music, bitch.
The pool? No, that was a summer song.
I thought they put snowflakes over that, and then you did another one about that. Or it was the same producers?
It is the same producers.
Okay, see, you're just so booked. Don't you laugh. I was busy watching this recap episode taking notes, so I'm sorry I didn't hear your new single, Mary.
Listen, I would love nothing more than to follow RuPaul's advice and go to a club and support local drag queens right now. Like, I wish that was a thing right now. And when the world gets its shit together and we're able to do that again, I simply cannot wait.
I cannot wait. I'm going to resurrect Parliament House in my Palm Springs backyard.
All right.
Parliament House West.
Yes.
And there will be the signature sticky linoleum.
Right. And speaking of Parliament House, then we get a profile of top 3 queen Roxy Andrews.
Yeah. Southern Nights girl.
She is a pageant queen from Orlando, Florida. She lost 70 pounds before coming on the show. She was part of Rolaska Talks.
Careful.
She did a wig reveal during her lip sync. And she can perform. Sickeningly.
Sickening. I don't know. Do you think she would be considered a big girl?
It's so weird because, like, I don't know that she repped that. Like, did she? Was she like, if I win, I'm going to be the first big girl?
Yeah, but we told Courtney that too to fuck with her head.
No, Roxy said it in her Tic Tac lunch with Rue.
She did.
But then she sort of used her tagline. She was like, be the big girl, you know, thick and juicy. Just, she's sort of like.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's never been anyone like Roxy Andrews, and there never will be. And she's a phenomenal contestant, and we love her very much.
Yeah. We're going to take a break.
Okay. Bye.
No, I mean, I'm leaving the show.
She came from Seattle with a dress and a dream.
The sleeper fan favorite and champion of season 5. Jinx Monsoon.
Here to take us on a journey with her opinions, memories, and thoughts on season 5.
Let's find out what Jinx thinks.
Now, I've always said that the most difficult time is after you've filmed it, and that period until it first airs. So what was it like for you during that period? The top 3 happened. We knew we were going to have a fucking year off. What was that time period in your life like?
Well, lucky for me, At the same time I got cast on Drag Race, I also got cast in Rent in Seattle at the
bookings.
The Fifth Avenue Theater, which is like, it's one of those, you know, local theaters.
Theater.
Yeah, it's one of the local theaters where they preview a lot of shows before they take it to Broadway. So if I hadn't got on Drag Race, I would have just happily, you know, done Rent at the Fifth Avenue Theater and hoped that I would get cast in another show. Like right after Rent, they did, or right before, anyway, they did Aladdin at some point, and they took some of the Seattle actors who originated the roles in Aladdin in Seattle. Then they got to travel with the show to New York and perform it on Broadway. So my hope was eventually I would originate a role in a new musical and they would take me to Broadway and that would be my in. So I didn't want to give up that because it was kind of my like safety net. So I worked it out with them for me to take the time off to film Drag Race. And what that meant was on every day off, you know, we get one day off a week. That was spent learning all my lines for Rent and getting off book and learning all my songs.
Oh my God.
So literally I filmed Drag Race and I fly home and the next day I had to go into rehearsal at 9 a.m. for Rent.
Oh my God.
And I was actually really, really grateful for this because I had a huge distraction. There was no time to sit around and think about what happened on Drag Race because I jumped right into my next thing.
Yeah.
And Rent was a really great experience and I loved it. And then right after Rent, I did Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So I had another distraction. And then...
Weren't you like, the youngest Edna Turnblad too?
I played Velma von Tussle, and I don't know if I was the youngest, but I think I was the first, you know, assigned male at birth person to play Velma von Tussle, the first drag queen in any case to play Velma von Tussle. But I was rehearsing Hedwig. I had a press day or a promotional day for Hedwig the day that the announcement came out for Drag Race. And it was, of course, you know, ticket sales for Hedwig just like skyrocketed after I got announced on Drag Race. So I had a lot of distractions, but I also had a lot of, as you can guess, anxieties. I had to call my mom, and without telling her everything, I had to kind of prepare her that, like, you know, I'm going to out you as an alcoholic. Let's do the healing now. It was, you know, it was really stressful because it was just like, I decided to let it all hang out and like really just be very candid and open on Drag Race. So it meant that I had to prepare certain people in my life for like, hey, everything is, you know, like I really shared my life story on Drag Race. So I don't want you to be shocked when the episode airs and I, you know, talk about this stuff. What I will say is my mom and I went on a very long journey post Drag Race. And now it's like, you know, 8 years later, my mom's doing better than she's done in years, you know, like in the last couple of decades, basically. My mom's in a really, really good place. My family's all in a really good place. We're all doing really, really well. And my mom, like every 3 or 3 to 6 months, I'll feel guilty about that, like airing our dirty laundry on TV, and I'll call my mom and we talk about it. And the last time we talked about it, she just said she has zero regrets for the way everything happened, because if it hadn't happened, she might not have gotten better. And because I kind of forced us to have the conversation by bringing it up so publicly, you know, we are in a better place than we would have been if I hadn't addressed it. And she's done the work on herself so that we could have the relationship that we now have. But it did mean, you know, like it took a lot of work. It took a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of very open conversations that we hadn't previously had. So neither of us have any regrets about it. And I'm really just happy that my mom is chill with it, because she feels appreciative that like we got to a better place because of it.
All right, we're back. This is a filler. Listen, the clip show is a filler episode, and the only filler I'm interested in is Juvederm.
Comes out of a syringe.
XL. Yes. Yeah.
But an exercise in ego, RuPaul interviews herself. And
God, bitch.
What?
Listen, I'm trying to defend this episode. As much as I'm talking shit, there are cute bits. And
go
I
get
this...
your district attorney wig from the last episode and try to defend this, but you can't.
I'm calling up Gloria Allred, and we are going to put together an ironclad case.
What about an iron fist case?
Ding!
Ding! Honestly, I'm on this episode, and I can still say it sucks. But
this
Rue on Rue interview is doesn't shed light on anything, but it's kind of frothy and time fillery. But RuPaul does look beautiful. I will say that I'm trying to find one nice thing to say about RuPaul every episode, at least.
It's a quick little bit, and RuPaul gets to kind of make fun of herself. Like, the out-of-drag RuPaul asks the in-drag RuPaul, what was up with your lighting in season one? How old are you? Are those your real teeth? And then RuPaul says, girl, don't try it, little boy. She quotes Coco Montrese.
Coco Montrese. So
I thought this was a funny bit. It was cute.
Yeah, it's great. It shows that she can laugh at herself, I guess.
Yeah. And then we're treated to Untucked, the lost episode.
So this is what happened after the top three, I guess, right?
Yes.
Now, and did this happen before you... Sorry for interrupting. Did this come out before you guys went back out on stage at some point? Was there a real deliberation, or was she just saying, go backstage and sit and talk now? How'd that work?
There was. It took place at the same time a normal Untucked episode would take place. But, you know, there's only three individuals, so they can't stretch that to be a full episode of Untucked. So they sort of embed it into this episode, which is smart because it also advertises the fact that Untucked is a separate show that's very compelling to watch.
Have you ever been in a situation where you haven't been able to sit in a gown?
Oh, yeah. This is so funny because Jinx and Alaska are sitting down on the couches normally, like in Untucked. And Roxy is standing there perfectly straight up and never sits down the whole time because her dress is, I mean, I imagine it has like corsetry built into it. It's covered in stones and sequins and beads.
All that.
Have I been in it? I've been in outfits that I could perch in and nothing more.
Purge?
Perch.
Oh, perch. I was like, you could purge some things from that closet, I'm sure.
Never.
So this Untucked draws back to some of the comments that were made on the last episode of the show, including the one where Roxy said that her competitors didn't exhibit the same qualities of having grace, professionalism, and beauty. And you reply with, So we don't have beauty and grace to Roxy. What did Roxy say to that?
Girl, it was our last day. I mean, it was our last day at summer camp. We were just cutting up and forget. So I was like, oh, so we don't have beauty and grace. Oh, so that's what we were just fucking with each other. Like we were just, this was the last day of fucking school and we were done. We were just having a good time.
Jinx didn't want to talk poorly about the girls on stage.
No, she didn't.
Now, Roxy apologized for being aggressive to Jinx and you during the competition. Were there any moments where she was aggressive towards you that you didn't feel? Because all of it, to me, when she says stuff to you, that feels like friendly fire, but it doesn't feel like it's actually meant.
It was getting a little, I mean, it was getting heated in that very last, those last couple of days. It was getting heated, and I know that Roxy was feeling the pressure.
Heat safe or heat resistant?
I was heat resistant because I'm very like, I just try to laugh it off and make a joke because I know she doesn't mean it. But yeah. it was mostly between Roxy and Jinx Alicious.
Now, the tech element of this episode is huge. You have three correspondents. You have Rue playing the RuPaul Drag Race version of Dragopolis on her phone. It's like Radio Shack Rue. She's got all the technologies.
Did you ever play Dragopolis?
I
remember that. I forgot about it until this episode.
I did not, but I'm not like a big like phone gamer. Like I've never played like Candy Crush or Pokemon or anything like that.
Candy Muse Crush.
she should do a game where it's like ding ding, and then she comes down from the top.
That'd be sick name.
That would be the fucking Candy Crush, bitch. Her Meet the Queens was probably my favorite Meet the Queens ever, by the way, too. I sing,
so
I dance, I act, and I lie because I can't do any of that shit.
So funny.
Like, honestly, so Candy Muse, for sure. Candy for All Stars.
Oh my gosh, you don't want her to win the season?
No, I want more of her.
Oh, okay. Well,
duh. Good. Yeah, it's the same reason I didn't want you to win.
Well, thank you. RuPaul also has various activities like juicing carrots. She's icing a cake.
They're blatantly telling the audience, look at us. We don't know what the... Here, we're going to give her some food to play with. Girl, this should have been a half hour slap in the face. This should have been a half hour delight instead of an hour long slap in the face to everybody's intelligence. Like, we get it.
I mean, speaking of this episode of the podcast. No, but they
different.
Sort of.
That's different.
This is sort of a predecessor to in All Stars. They do the like mundane activities when the girls are deliberating. They're like, well, you deliberate in the workroom. The judges and I will like, I don't know, crochet thing. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Paint each other's nails. And it gives them a chance to, like, just do little bits, which is cute. This is sort of a predecessor to that.
Now, we are lucky enough to witness the historic moment in time where RuPaul introduces her new album, The Beginning, and the music video which accompanies it.
Yeah.
This music video stars Jinx Monsoon, Roxy Andrews, and Alaska Louise Thunderfuck, 5000. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the music video? Do you often do unpaid extra work?
Well, it shows you how good the choreography ended up being because they don't show any of the synchronized choreography in the music video, which as someone who has done music videos a few times, usually you keep shooting it until you get one that you can use. I don't think we got one that you can use on that good day. God bless us.
Yeah, no, the synchronized choreography, it sank.
What did you think of the guest judges all being on the jury? They were all green screened into being in the jury of the courtroom.
Oh, yeah, wonderfully camp.
It was cute.
Yeah, no, they got to find a way to work them all in, so I'm glad they found a way. I thought this video compared to season four's video was a miscarriage. A travesty. I think season four's video was so good.
But standout, we got to see RuPaul in her goddess look, just sort of doing her shake and bop and kind of dancing and performing to this song, which that's always thrilling because RuPaul is a vision and seeing her move around in any way and sing is exciting to me.
What's the question?
Is that look pants? Are they gold pants with like white overlay?
With the white over
it? I think it's a season four promo gold pant.
Yes, I think so. It is a gold pant and then with like white drapery over it. White goddess look.
That's all it is. Yeah, drag will find a way. I thought was this your music video debut? Was this your first music video?
I don't know.
Did Riveting. Apologize come out before this?
Oh yeah, did Rupologize before?
Rupologize did come out before this. Rupologize so came I out, was... I think. So no,
I was in Rupologize,
and you were probably in This Club Is a Haunted House too, right?
I don't think so.
No. No tip spots available that night.
No, not that time.
Well, the finale for season five of Drag Race will be covered next week.
I can't wait to see how this turns out.
We'll take a break on that one.
Wow!
Ms. Montrese.
Wise words.
We live for some hot cocoa. And we want to thank you so much for joining us for Race Chaser Classic this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska. We would love for you to write a review of our podcast. Review a different episode. Review this episode.
No.
You can go on your podcast app and don't forget to subscribe and take a moment to leave us a very favorable rating as well.
And you can follow the dolls at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000, and at the Race Chaser Pod account is Race Chaser Pod.
Plus, we have exciting video content, bonus video content available now at patreon.com/Willem. It's pay to play, so you just choose a video you like, leave the coins on the dresser, and hit the door. You can search the Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag
Race Chaser. And you can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. And please,
that's right,
wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance yourself. We apologize for what we did to your ears this week, and respect each other out in the world. Leave meeting!
We're just gonna end the episode.
Race Chaser. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever!
Race Chaser with Alaskan Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.